I'm Mina.
And I'm Madison. And this is
Weekly Wondering.
Hi, Madison.
Hi, Nina.
How's it going?
We're here. We're living. We're loving. I feel like I say this every time. How are you?
This is how we start now. Like, instead of just the high, like the high highs, I go, how's it going? And then you say, we live, we love.
You know, I like to bring live, laugh, love
into anything I can.
Really have modernized it.
Yeah.
Brought it past the sorority sister vibe.
And brought it in more into our just like straight quarantine
chaos.
Chaotic vibe. Mm. Yeah, happy almost year since quarantine.
Mm. You can say with a roll.
Clink.
Cheers. Truly cheers.
Cheers.
Just a big old cheers. Yeah, it's gonna be like a hard couple weeks living in March again.
Yeah.
Thinking about March again.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to just, like, keep thinking about every other month, like, thinking about April again.
Thinking about May until we get to December.
Never.
Until we're at March three times. And you know what?
It may be a triple quarantine anniversary.
Cheers.
The terrible twos, you know?
We are in our terrible twos right now.
Depressed.
But
what? Why are we here? What are we doing? What is this?
This is Weekly Wondering, the podcast. If you guys didn't know,
this isn't. You just didn't stumble into Nina and I's recorded conversations,
as it often sounds like at the beginning, middle, and end of this podcast. Mm. One might say the whole thing.
Will we apologize? No.
But today, guys, what are we, Madison, going to talk about on Weekly Wondering?
Get on the floor. Everybody walk the dinosaur.
D-I-N-O-S-A. You are a dinosaur. What are the next lyrics? Something about an old man.
Isn't there a CAT scan?
Old man CAT scan.
You need a CAT scan.
Because isn't it like, you are an old, like, you're just an old man.
Hitting on me, what? Yeah. I think it's like an old man. It's Kesha.
It's
Kesha. Because I know that.
It's Kesha. What is it? You are a dinosaur. Oh, it is. She spells old man.
O-L-D-M-A-N.
You're just an old man. Hitting on me. What? Hitting on me. What? And then she says, you need a CAT scan. Good work.
Very interesting. We're talking about dinosaurs. If you didn't get it by that.
Not to be confused with Kesha. We will not be discussing Kesha today.
Love to talk about Kesha.
One of these days we will.
My fave.
So, yeah, guys, we're talking about dinosaurs today. So, I guess we'll get into it. I'm going to talk first.
Madison's
going to talk second. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about the life of dinosaurs, the beginnings, just the facts, you know. We're only here for facts today.
What? Us?
I couldn't even say that with a straight, face.
No, just feelings.
No. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about, like, lifespan of dinosaurs, kind of fake factual information, what killed them. Talk to you a little bit about, like, the fossils of dinosaurs, but, like, not really, you know.
Because I'm talking about the fossils of dinosaurs.
I'll be talking to you about everything. Madison will not be speaking this podcast.
I'm actually going to keep my mouth shut for once.
Okay, so we'll start. So dinosaurs, guys. There's also a lot of, in all of these things that I have to read, there are so many words, big words, with many syllables that I was just like, I can't keep doing this. So you guys get ready for that. So dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are a diverse group of reptiles of the clade Dinosauria. Ooh. They first appeared during the Triassic period between 243 and 233.23 million years ago. A long time ago. Although the exact origin and timing of the evolution of dinosaurs is the subject of active research, they become the dominant terrestrial vertebrates after the Jurassic extinction event. Ugh. And that was literally, yes. And that was 201.3 million years ago. Their dominance continued throughout the Jurassic periods and like many other periods, considering that they were very large and scary. But the fossil records show, and I'm sure you'll talk more about fossils later, but the fossil records show that, like, birds are... Madison goes, I don't even know what a fossil is.
Never heard of one.
Shows that birds are the modern feathered dinosaurs, having evolved from earlier theropods during the late Jurassic, like, times, and are the only dinosaur lineage to survive the... extinction events, like all of the like Cretaceous, like Pagelline, like all the things, all the extinction events, which were approximately 66 million years ago. You're telling me that we had events big enough to kill dinosaurs and birds survived? Fucking pigeons.
We don't trust them. That's why. That's exactly it right there.
Ugh.
I only trust the dodo. I have no reasoning. I will take no follow-up questions.
Will not be explaining.
End of lecture.
Okay. So dinosaurs can therefore be divided into avian dinosaurs or birds. And the extinction... I hate them. And the extinct non-avian dinosaurs, which are all dinosaurs other than birds. Ugh. Dinosaurs are a varied group of animals from taxonomic, morphological, and ecological standpoints. Basically, everybody has a different opinion. Birds at over, so there's a lot of like talk about birds because they are the only quote unquote dinosaurs to be alive. So we use a lot of that to compare and bring science to life, I guess.
So truly you're in hell is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. So birds at over 10,700 living species are among the most diverse group of vertebrates. Using fossil evidence, paleontologists have identified, which are people that are like, you know, fossilologists, dinosaurologists.
The dinosaur people. Yes.
Yeah. Have identified over 900 distinct genera and more than 1,000 distinct species of non-avian dinosaurs. That's crazy. Dinosaurs are represented on every continent, both like avian and non-avian species. That's also wild to think about. Like, I never really thought about that. They're just ruling the land.
It's like something that I, you know, as I was doing research, like thought about of like, I just like think of dinosaurs as a North American thing for like, no particular reason other than just hanging like, out, you know, going to like the Natural History Museum and stuff like that. But I'm like, but a dinosaur in Australia?
Truly?
What?
An Irish dinosaur?
Yeah, like, hello? That's just a leprechaun.
An Irish dinosaur
is a leprechaun. No questions, no comments. Take yourself out.
We'll not be elaborating on any anything that's said today.
No.
So where was So yes, they're on all the continents. Through the first half of the 20th century, before birds were recognized as dinosaurs, most of the scientific community believed dinosaurs to have been a sluggish and cold-blooded kind of species kind of situation. Most research conducted since the 1970s, however, has indicated that dinosaurs were active animals with an elevated metabolism and numerous adaptations for social interaction. Some were herbivores, others were carnivores. Evidence suggests that all dinosaurs were egg-laying and that nest building was a trait shared by many dinosaurs, both avian and non-avian. Could you imagine a T-Rex building a nest? I can't.
Like, just, like, ripping a tree out of the ground. Here's a twig.
Like, like, that's literally what I think. When they're like, yeah, they built some nest. I'm like,
Or just, like, Lady and the Tramp, like, you know, like, scooting a meatball, but, like, a boulder.
Literally.
Like, to get literally. Into a nest.
Because then, like, a bird nest, you know, like, it's proportionate to them. So, like, a dinosaur nest?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Also, like, a dinosaur egg. How big?
Could I be inside of it?
Like, literally, like,
would I fit inside a dinosaur
egg? I feel like it would be too big for me. Mm. Like, it would be like a mansion.
You'd have rooms.
All right. So, then I continue. So, while dinosaurs were ancestrally bipedal, many extinct groups included quadrupedal species, you know. Two legs, one leg.
Ah.
Two legs, one leg. Two legs, four legs.
You know, the good old pogo dinosaur. The pogosaur.
Literally the pogosaur. And so some were able to shift between the stances. How elaborate of them.
Does anything just have one leg? A snake, I guess?
They have 2 feet.
Snakes? Why are they hiding them?
I'm gonna send you a picture of snake feet.
Okay. Don't do it to me now. Well, that I can't handle that kind of trauma right now. I might just quit the podcast right here.
Okay. So back to the
dinosaurs.
So elaborate display structures such as horns and crests are common to all dinosaur groups, and some extinct groups developed skeletal, that looks like a fake word, but it's real, modifications such as body armor, and spines.
Ooh, spines.
Literally, spines. While the dinosaurs' modern-day surviving avian lineage birds are generally small due to the constraints of flight, many prehistoric dinosaurs, non-avian and avian, were large-bodied. The largest sauropod dinosaurs are estimated to have reached lengths of, close your eyes so that you can imagine, 39.7 meters, which is 130 feet. And a height of 18 meters, which is 59 feet.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's like 10 times the size of me.
59 feet tall. And we're the largest land animals of all time. The misconception that non-avian dinosaurs were uniformly gigantic is based in part on preservation bias, as large, sturdy bones are more likely to last until they are fossilized.
But we don't even, like, have things that big anymore. Like, literally, you have, like, a giraffe. But that, like, literally. That's what, how tall is a giraffe? Like, what, like?
Like, it, 11 feet? I feel like that's ambitious. I feel like, maybe not.
I was going to say 11 or 15, like, somewhere in there.
Yeah, like, I feel like
that's ambitious. Like, no, we're close to 59.
Like, 59 feet is too tall.
We have, like, I feel like, they're all in the water. Like, it's, like, a giant squid or, like, a whale shark or, like, you know, a whale.
A whale. Yeah.
But, like, you know.
Nothing on land. We don't have anything on land.
Giraffes are big. But not like, to that. Us,
but like, not like a giraffe is like the size of a human to a like to a dinosaur.
Yeah, that's freaking like a chicken nugget. Like, I don't know what to tell. Like,
oh,
how are they? How are they that large?
59 feet. Like, literally, I had to like look when I was like when I read this. I was like, how tall is?
Just gets a ruler.
59 feet. Just, like, how tall is 59 feet?
Too tall.
Literally too tall. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they were quite big.
So
yeah, they're, like, they're freaking large. So, yeah, that's the whole thing. They're all fossilized, that thing. So, many dinosaurs were quite small also. Some measuring to about 50 centimeters, which is 20 inches.
Amazing.
Little tiny dinosaurs.
Those are acceptable.
I want only miniature them. Dinosaurs. The first dinosaur fossil was recognized in the early 19th century with the name dinosaur, meaning terrible lizard.
Yes.
It was coined by Sir Richard Owen in 1841 to refer to these great fossil lizards. Since then, mounted fossil dinosaur skeletons have been major attractions at museums worldwide, and dinosaurs have become an enduring part of popular culture. The large sizes of dinosaurs are well as their seemingly monstrous and fantastic nature, and they have ensured that their regular appearance is best-selling in books, films, books, TV shows, and films such as Jurassic Park and The Land Before Time, which is its more iconic counterpart, in my opinion.
There was, what was the more, there was the, so Disney did Dinosaur, which was like forever ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was also the more recent one that was a Pixar movie? Was it The Last, Lost Dinosaur? I went and saw it in theaters, is all I know.
Oh.
As, you know, as a grown woman. Maybe as a teenager. But like,
as a grown woman.
Who am I to not go see a kid's movie in the movie theater?
Literally. I don't know. But yeah, they're popular. I think about, like, my brother, like, when he was a child, like, fuck me up, he had, like, so many dinosaur toys, like, and like an extreme amount
of, that's like, you know, I feel like you were either like a dinosaur kid or a robot kid, you know, like those,
yeah,
like,
that's
it,
true.
It was the split, it was the putting on my philosopher glasses, it was the split between wanting to focus on the past or the future.
Oh,
thank you. No questions, no office hours,
it's just done. Talk to your,
like, the TA.
Assistant. Yeah, no, he loved a good dinosaur.
I love that.
Loved. We used to have that, like, dinosaur book, too, that was, like basically, like, monkeys, like, jumping on the bed, but, like, dinosaur edition.
Amazing.
And it had, like, little, like, dinosaur eyes. Like, little, like, eyes that, like, Googled. And, like, every page, like, you know, like, was a different dinosaur thing, but they had them. I forget what it was called. I'll find it, well, later, so that you can see it. It was pretty iconic.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then there's just, like, a lot of, like, a lot of the information that is, like, now talked about with dinosaurs that is, like, very interesting. And I'll talk about this a little bit as I move more into talking about, like, extinction and such. But, like, a lot of the things that happen with, like, talking about dinosaurs now is trying to figure out, like, the types of dinosaurs that there actually were. Because, you know, like, everybody knows, like, Triceratops and, like, a, like, Tyrannosaurus and, like, a Stegosaurus. But I was reading in, like, one of these articles that, like, people were, like, there were certain dinosaurs that, like, we're not even sure if, like, because, you know, like, we all know, like, oh, like, Tyrannosaurus and, like, Triceratops, like, weren't friends. Or, like, you know, like, we know, like, certain dinosaurs of being, like, eaters of other dinosaurs. And, like, I was reading in one of these articles that was, like, we don't even know if those dinosaurs were, like, alive at the same time.
Yes.
Or, like, in the same area. That I was, like, that's so wild to think about. That, like, we grew up with, like, I mean, like, you know, just, like, such a...
Like, not, all the dinosaurs were there together.
Yeah, like this was a thing. One, like, this big is happy how it worked.
Dinosaur family.
Yeah, literally one big happy dinosaur family. And, like, they're like, we don't know who was there. We don't know when. We don't know, like, what the situation anything, was.
Really.
Like, really, we don't know anything. So, yeah, and there's, like, this information... Where was, I'm going to skip, like, ahead in a couple of my notes so that I can find, like, what I was even going to talk about with that. But, yeah, so there's, like, a lot of that. But, like, the next kind of, like, thing that is, like, talked about is, like, kind of just, like, the extinction of dinosaurs. And, like, much like everything else, like, to do with dinosaurs, we don't really know, like, what happened. So I'm going to talk, like, about, like, there were a couple of articles that I found that kind of had, like, some cool things about them. There was, like, this one that would just, like, basically, like, said, like, and this is the thing you'll kind of find out in a lot of things, as they said, like, there are several theories as to, like, what may have contributed to, like, the mass extinction of non-avian dinosaurs and, like, other species at the end of, like, these periods. But, like, it is certain that, like, a massive asteroid or comet, as we know, like, struck Earth during this time, causing a dramatic shift in Earth's climate change. But, like, it is more, like, it is seen more and, like, thought more by scientists that these, like, this impact had catastrophic consequences for life on Earth. But, like, other factors, including changing sea levels, like, large-scale volcanic activity at this time, like, all of those things may have been what played more of a massive, like, significant role, like, in the extinction than, like, the comet itself.
Yeah. Because is that, putting on my inaccurate science brain, is that, like, what led us into the Ice Age, right? Because that's what...
Yes.
Ice Age taught me well, you know, the movie series.
Good job. So then there's, like, yeah, at the end of the, like, Cretaceous time, saw one of the most dramatic mass extinctions Earth has ever seen, and all the dinosaurs left.
At the moment. I win every day.
I sob. So we found out, like, what brought about, like, you know, the end of the dinosaurs and many other animals. That's the other thing, is they're like, there were definitely other animals there that weren't dinosaurs,
like,
that
we just, squirrel, like, just fucking around.
We don't talk about that. We're like, we can't really get into that.
Yeah.
So the fossil records show that for the first 175 million years of their existence, dinosaurs took a huge variety of forms as their environment changed and new species evolved that were suited to these new conditions, blobbity, blobbity, blobbity. Dinosaurs that failed to adapt went extinct just, like, over time, much like many things. But then 66 million years ago, over a relatively short time, dinosaurs disappeared completely, except for birds. You fuckers. Many other animals also died out, including pterosaurs, large marine reptiles, which is suspicious, because how do we know that large marine reptiles disappeared?
They just went deep. They just went fucking deeper.
Because how do we know what disappeared if we don't know what's in the ocean?
We've already talked about the ocean.
That's a whole different situation. Yeah. And other animals. So although the number of dinosaur species was already declining, this suggests a sudden catastrophic event that sealed their fate. Something that caused unfavorable changes to their environment to occur more quickly than dinosaurs and other creatures could have adapted. Very suspicious. And then I read, like, there was an NPR article that, like, I have in here. Because, like I was saying, a lot of these articles talk about, like, the Earth's climate change, like, the asteroid impact, like, volcanic eruptions, all of these things. But there was an NPR article that, like, is a whole thing, but it was basically, like, for decades, like, the prevailing theory about the extinction of dinosaurs was that the asteroid from the belt between Mars and Jupiter slammed into the planet, blah, 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 blah. But then it, like, goes on to talk about how, like, it wasn't the asteroid, like, or the comet itself. And, like, it's a whole, like, thing about how, like, Jupiter, like, the theory is that Jupiter's gravity shot, like, this incoming comet and, like, into orbit, and it, like, changed the course of all of these things and, like, slammed on actually, like, what was the coast of Mexico and caused these other things, and, like, basically suggests that, like, it wasn't, like, due to science and, like, all of these, like, nerd things, that, like, it was not the comet that actually killed the dinosaurs. Mm. But doesn't tell you what it could have been. Like, it's not the comet, but we don't know what it was.
It, like, opened the gates of hell and just, like, yeah, swallowed
basically,
everything up.
It just,
except,
like,
the birds. They said, no, you can keep those.
Yeah, literally. It, like, just opened up this, like, whole thing. Hmm. And now here we are. Hmm. Without dinosaurs and with birds.
Can you imagine if the roles reversed?
Could you imagine? Instead of a pigeon in the streets of New York,
there's
all
a pterodactyl.
Fucking triceratops. Fucking bebopping. Hey! Oh, God. How scary. That's really it. A lot of the other, like, information I'm not going to get into because I know you're going to talk about, like, some fossil things and all of that. But, like, a lot of the other information that's, like, very interesting was... like, talking about, like, the types of dinosaurs over time, like I was, like, kind of saying, but also talking about, like, you know, fossils of specific, like, parts of dinosaurs, and, like, how that helps talk about, like, their lifespan and kind of tell us just, like, interesting things about, like, about them, which is kind of cool. But yeah, those are that's the life of a dinosaur. They had a very, I guess, like, mysterious life.
Yeah.
They just were chilling.
And we know nothing.
And we don't know anything about mm-hmm. them. That's, like, the thing that I kept reading. I kept reading, like, all of these things. And I was like, okay, this is very interesting. This is very interesting. And then, like, somewhere, like, in the midst of all of this, like, scientific talk, it'd be like, and they found this, and they found this, and they know this, but, like, we don't really know any of these things for sure. And I'd be like, mm-hmm. okay.
Because, like, we like, you know, have made guesstimates of, like, what they sound like, and, like, what they, you know,
yeah,
how they moved, and, you know, yeah. But, like, we could be just looking at it all wrong.
We could be wrong. They could have spoken in French.
Parlez-vous dinosaur? I know no French. Oui.
So, yeah.
Un, deux, trois.
Truly, un, deux, trois.
Croissant. Oui, oui, oui. Okay. You telling me I should talk now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, science. Fossils and kind of some, like, new dinosaur discoveries and, you know.
I thought you said nude dinosaurs.
Ooh. Is it like nude
dinosaurs?
Yeah, didn't you know they all wear pants?
I wish.
Dinosaurs in, like, pants.
Well, pantaloon wearing dinosaur.
Oh, goodness. Or, like, cargo shorts. I can see them in cargo shorts. Dinosaurs seem like a T-Rex in cargo shorts.
Cargo shorts, yeah.
That makes sense.
Definitely.
So, okay, to start, way back in 1676, Robert Plott, the curator of an English museum, described and drew a thigh bone that he believed belonged to a giant man. How much more terrifying than a dinosaur is a giant man?
Literally my nightmare.
Yeah. Although that fossil disappeared without a trace, which is suspicious in itself, but fine. I won't question that too much.
They said no questions.
We're no done. Answers. Office hours done. The surviving illustration suggests that it may have been part of a megalosaurus, which is so wild that you can, like, look at a thigh bone and be like, ah, yes, the megalosaurus.
Literally.
Later in 1822, large teeth discovered in England by Mary Ann Mantle and her husband Gideon were thought to be the remains of a huge and extinct iguana. I wish. It wasn't until 1841 that a British scientist, Richard Owen, who you talked about earlier, came to realize that such fossils were distinct from teeth or bones of any living creature. The ancient animals were so different, in fact, that they deserve their own name. So Owen dubbed the group Dinosauria, which means terrible lizards.
I love that for them.
Which, like, do they mean terrible lizards as in, like, damn, that's a bad lizard? Or, like, more of, like, oh, a terrible lizard.
Like, fucking naughty lizards, you know? Like,
yeah, like, someone give me some insight on what, like, what terrible means to you, you know?
Literally, what is
Were they just definition? Bad at being lizards?
What is your definition?
So across the ocean in North America, dinosaur tracks were studied in the Connecticut Valley beginning in the 1830s. They were believed to belong to enormous ravens, your biggest fear.
Like, what would I do? Literally, what would I do?
Nothing. You just gotta let it happen at that point. You're just gonna let the enormous raven take you away. But they thought that these were freed from Noah's Ark after the Great Flood. You know, that good old trying to explain things with Christianity in the beginning.
Yes.
I tried to look up, I talked to you earlier about this, of, like, how I wanted to see, like, how finding fossils influenced, like, creationism. And, like, most of the things that I, like, looked up were just, like, people finding reasoning of, like, to explain it, of, like, Satan planted the fossils in the ground to confuse the people. And I said, you trickster Satan, you.
Truly, you trickster Satan. You had all that time, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, and it's the different things of, like, some people choose to just ignore
Sure.
Evolution in general.
Sure.
Or, like, some people are like, well, you know, the Big Bang had to start somewhere, and, like, maybe that's what God did, and, like, the rest of it's just fun storytelling, you know?
Okay.
And I'm like, at least you're acknowledging that dinosaurs something were a thing. That
something happened.
But I digress. So at the time, paleontology was long on the deduction part and very short on the evidence part. They were big about great making the points, but had nothing to back it up.
Love that.
This was remedied when two wealthy and competitive American scientists, Othniel, terrible name, Marsh, and Edward Cope.
Marsh.
God. Like a freaking bog. they raced to excavate fossils in the Rocky Mountain region. In the late 1800s, their separate teams dug up tons of bones from several sites. It's also to be noted that they invaded and destroyed a lot of Native American land in doing this.
Cool.
Casual. Checks out completely.
Literally, yeah.
Never have I ever been less surprised.
Literally.
By some American colonizers.
Disappointed, not surprised.
All in all, Marsh and Cope's rivalry, known as the Bone Wars, uncovered.
Not the Bone Wars.
Yeah. It uncovered 136 new species, and their respective fossil displays generated excitement for dinosaurs the world over. In the 1900s, enthusiasm for dinosaurs grew steadily, attracting the attention of the scientific community. Institutions such as the Carnegie Museum of Natural History and the American Museum of Natural History assembled dig teams. I wish I was on a dig team.
That would be fun.
It would be a lot of fun. I really, in Disney, they have, like, the dino boat in Disney World. I think it's Animal Kingdom. They have, like, the whole, like, dinosaur land, but, like, there was, like, the dig site, and, like, my brother and I would spend hours in there when we were little kids. Like, just, like, digging in freaking germy sand.
Germy, gross, COVID-filled sand.
Yes. Pre-COVID-filled sand.
Just
festering. Yeah. Ready for
we
COVID.
We actually used to have one of those, too. So you remember that place? Side note, you guys get to hear. You remember that place I was telling you about, Crazy City?
Yes.
We used to have one of those in Crazy City.
Why?
Because we're psychotic in Cincinnati. I don't know.
Good for you guys, though. I wish I had a dino bit.
There was a rock and minerals version, like a mine. Yes. You know I love a mine.
Freaking love a rock and mineral. Best field trip of fourth grade, baby.
Yeah, there was a rock and mineral mine, and then there was a freaking, like, dinosaur bone one.
Where was I? They were on dig teams, which undiscovered many rich bone beds in North America.
Guys, this is the end of the podcast.
I'm like, sorry.
Forever.
I have the humor of a 12-year-old boy. as did their counterparts overseas. New sites in Utah revealed several different species, including Camarasaurus, Apatosaurus, and Stegosaurus. Yeah. Tyrannosaurus Rex remains were found in Montana and baby Coelosaurs in New Mexico.
Well, baby dinosaurs.
Well, babies. In recent decades, dinosaur research continues, but the emphasis has shifted from finding and classifying these animals to analyzing and reconstructing their lives and habitats. In the late 1960s, Robert Baker proposed that these ancient creatures may have belonged, they might have been as agile and energetic as warm-blooded animals. You were saying, remember how, like, they first thought they were these sluggish.
They're like, they're cold. Sluggish and cold-blooded.
They're terrible lizards.
Like, literally.
They might have had some life to them. And in the mid-1970s, Peter Dodson, along with James Farlow, hypothesized that they used their horns to attract the attention of females as well as for fighting. And in the late 1970s, Jack Horner made history by identifying some of the first dinosaur nests and eggs in North America. These important Mysora fossils helped to determine that some species nested in colonies and cared for their young. In the past few years, several paleontologists, including Ken Carpenter, Phil Curry, and William Coombs, have identified juvenile dinosaurs that were previously thought to be adults. Wes Hample has theorized that some dinosaurs probably used their crests and nasal passages to create sound. Use your nasal resonators.
Oh no.
Each day, scientists working all over the world in the field in research labs help redefine the meaning of the word dinosaur.
D-I-N-O-S-A.
You are a dinosaur. So let's pivot here to fossils. And what is a fossil? Great Tell question. Me. How many grades do you think, I was trying to think of this earlier, how many grades do you think you made fake fossils in?
None.
I feel, no?
No.
What?
We didn't do that. We didn't have time for that.
God, I felt like I made fossils in at least like 3 different grades. Like,
really?
I felt like that was like maybe like a first grade, maybe like a 6th grade when we were learning about rocks, like, okay. You know.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely didn't do that.
God.
We were just like not into it. Yeah. We definitely like went to some like night of the museum level like field trips about like fossils and dinosaurs.
Sure.
But like definitely I don't think we made any
now you just having me thinking about the rock and gem show I went to. Got me really started on my rock collection when I was a kid.
I love a rock show, a gem show. I did also, but like I did, speaking of making fossils, I didn't make fossils, but I used to be on my own dig team.
Yes, same.
in my freaking backyard when I was a child. Well, my front yard, because we used to, in my old house, like when I was very, very young, we used to have this like huge rock wall, like outside of the front of my house that was literally like all like fossil like type rocks. And like I would literally spend like whole ass days being like, oh my God. Dinosaur bones. You see that?
Like, that's a tooth.
Literally a triceratops. Like,
a whole T-Rex. Excavate like, the backyard.
Living my life. Like, living my best life.
Yeah. I remember doing it at my cousin's all the time because they had a really long backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And so my cousin and I, who are the same age, at way too young an age, would take, like, a full-on big-ass shovel and, like, be digging holes.
Yeah.
Willy-nilly in the backyard.
Yeah.
And, like, panning for rocks and, like, looking and seeing, like, oh, is that a leaf we think we see in this rock imprinted on it?
Literally.
Anywho. Fossils. I'll talk science since I guess you never made them in school.
Sorry.
So what is a fossil? A fossil is physical evidence of a prehistoric plant or animal. This may be their preserved remains or other traces, such as marks they made in the ground while they were alive. Fossilized remains, including fossil bones and teeth, are known as body fossils. Fossilized shells are also body fossils. But other fossilized is such a weird word to look at.
Yeah.
I feel like it should be a Z, but this uses an S. Fossilized signs of a plant or animal are called trace fossils. Dinosaur trace fossils can include footprints, imprints in their skin or feathers, and poop, called coprolites. Poop. Dino poop.
Dino poop.
Does everything fossilize?
I feel like no.
You would be correct. Very few things do. A specific set of circumstances and conditions are needed for fossilization to occur. So it's actually a very rare event. Most things that die rot away completely, leaving nothing behind.
Oh,
how nice. I wrote my notes. How nice.
How beautiful.
I love to completely die and rot away completely.
Just leave it. Just let it go.
Just truly disintegrate. Nearly all fossils we find, around 99%, are from marine animals such as shellfish and sharks. This is because they lived in the sea where the sand or mud could bury the remains quickly after they died. Once the remains are buried under sediment, the decomposition slows down due to lack of oxygen, giving enough time for fossilization to occur. But the dinosaurs lived on land, so how did they get buried quickly enough for some of them to fossilize? Well, our good friend.
Yeah, tell me.
Our good friend, Dr. David Button, a dinosaur researcher at a museum, says most of the dinosaur fossils were from animals living near a lake or river. Some died shortly before the area flooded and covered their remains in mud and silt. Others were washed into a river by heavy rain. Occasionally something more dramatic occurs, like a volcano, mudslide, sinkhole, you know.
Okay, so here's my, like...
Yes.
Here's my, like... My this is where my brain is like, so I just have so many questions. Mm-hmm. It's because, like, if that happened, like, with dinosaurs, you know, mm-hmm. and, like, that is how we got fossils, even though they were, like, what are they called? Land animals.
Sure.
Would, like, it brings me to start thinking about, like, things in the ocean. Mm-hmm. You know, and being like, okay, like, I get it. Like, they're ocean animals. And, like, even, like, A, I feel like it should be easier to find fossils of, like, big-ass animals from the ocean. But B, also, like, could the same thing not happen where, like, but, like, in reverse, you know, like, oh, like, you know, water dries up. Things mm-hmm, happen. Mm-hmm. And then... these, like, you know, mud hardens, creates rock, you know, science. And then, like, yes. We find scientific fossils of, like, ocean animals.
But, like, on the land because, like, the water
had... on the land.
I mean, well, I know we've discovered some ocean...
Some! Not enough for me.
Have you met the ocean?
For my heart. I have.
Have you seen...
I've lived in her. I've met her. We're very good friends.
No, you... I mean, like, yeah, that's a really good point. I have no clue.
I don't know. It baffles me every time.
Yeah.
Like, I understand, but I don't, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Is, like, we don't even know how many dinosaurs we're looking to... like, looking for to begin with.
Uncover. Yeah.
Like, we don't... We can't be like, ah, yes, there's, like... It's not like, you know, like, you're, like, playing Animal Crossing and you're like, well, there's 13 things here, so I must fill them all with the dinosaurs, and that'll be all the dinosaurs. Like, we don't...
Yeah.
There could be thousands more.
Yeah. Scary.
The, like, sinkhole thing always makes me think of... I wanted to say, I was thinking about this earlier. I was in South Dakota, and there was, like, you know, casually...
Scary as a child.
We, like, went on vacation as children, and I think this is where it was, because it's the only place in my mind that makes sense currently. Mm-hmm. But it was, like, this mammoth museum, and it was, like, where they had, like, a ton of mammoth skeletons.
I love a mammoth
museum. Because there had been, like, a pack of them,
yeah.
And a sinkhole had opened up. And just, like, killed them all right there and then and there. But it preserved them because it was freaking, like, the mud and, like, you know, all of that stuff.
Oh, my God. My new sinkhole dream is to...
To be preserved?
No.
Okay.
No. Scary. Cremate me. My new sinkhole dream is to be swallowed in a sinkhole temporarily. To find the dinosaurs, like, and be met with a triceratops.
Like, just, like, chilling down there?
Yes.
Like a portal into, like, triceratops.
A 59-foot triceratops.
Yes. Just, like, 2 feet under the ground.
Like... Just hanging out.
It, like, also makes me think of, like, in Rome, when, like, ever they try and, like, you know, add another, like, part of the train or,
yes.
like, do anything. And then they, like, just, like, discover some more ancient artifacts. And they're
yes.
like, fuck, we gotta stop what? Again.
Yes.
I just wish it was, like, that with dinosaurs. Like, we were just finding them that quickly.
We would just find them, like, all the time. I don't know. Yeah.
I just want a pet dinosaur.
Oh.
Anywho. So how do fossils form? Great question.
Tell me.
The most common way an animal, such as a dinosaur, fossilizes is called petrification. The steps are, 1, the animal dies.
Oh.
2, soft parts of the animal's body, including skin and muscles, start to rot away. Scavengers may come and eat the remains, blah, 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 you know, casual decomposition.
Circle of life.
Before the body disappears completely, it's buried by sediment, usually mud, sand, or silt. Often, mm-hmm. at this point, only the bones and teeth remain. Many more layers of sediment build on top of it. This puts a lot of weight and pressure onto the layers below, squashing them, and eventually they turn into sedimentary rock themselves.
Okay.
While this is happening, water seeps into the bone and teeth, turning them into stone as it leaves behind minerals. Oh. Because technically they're not considered bone anymore.
Right.
They're like petrified bone. Or
it's
like
not, like, you know, like, it's not like hardened Play-Doh, like a bone.
Yeah.
Hardened Play-Doh. Yes. On top of bone.
Like, and this process can take thousands or even millions of years.
Oh.
The water leaves mineral crystals behind in spaces in the bones, and this is why dinosaur fossils often have a sponge or honeycomb-like texture. The internal bone structure has been preserved. And, like, you can see the same thing with, like, tree fossils, you know, petrified wood. They're formed the same way, and, like, that's why you can, like, count growth rings on fossilized trees, is because, like... still looks like it, but it's just still
looks like it.
A rock.
Huh. I don't think I, like, I know. You know, like, it's one of those things that you're, like,
yeah.
You understand that. Like, duh. You're, like, duh, I know this. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you hear it, like, explained, you're, like, I don't really think I, like, fully comprehended said situation in my brain.
Like, if you would have asked me, I'd be, like, yeah, it's a bone.
Right.
And you're like, but it's, like, solid. I'll be like, yeah, it's like a rock.
It's like a, it's a
but
rock.
But I wouldn't, like, put...
yeah, like, I wouldn't have put two and two, like, together this in this way.
Yes. So sometimes groundwater dissolves the buried bone or shell, leaving behind a bone or shell-shaped hole or imprint in the sediment. And this becomes, like, a natural mold. And if water, which is rich in minerals, ends up filling this space, crystal can form and create a fossil in the shape of the original bone or shell. This is known as a cast fossil. Or sediment can fill the mold and form a cast fossil as well. These are the most common ways that marine animals with... there are most common ways that marine animals with shells are fossilized, so they end up like this. Mm-hmm. This includes ammonites that went extinct around the same time as the dinosaurs, as well as shellfish like oysters and mussels that we can still find today. Trace fossils such as footprints form in a similar way. A footprint forms a natural mold, and sediment then fills its form, like forming a cast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we'll catch Bigfoot.
Get him.
I want to meet him. When I got with him. How you doing, Bigfoot? If you're out there listening, Bigfoot, I'm a huge fan.
I feel like Bigfoot would have, like, a pet dinosaur.
I thought you were going to say a podcast. I think Bigfoot would have a podcast.
Would have a podcast as well.
But no, I can see Bigfoot having a pet dinosaur. Do you think Bigfoot was around in the day of dinosaurs?
You know what? I was just thinking that. I was like, I wonder what creatures, because, like, you know, a thing we don't, like, talk about, but, like, we always see, like, in TV shows and things about dinosaurs is, like, the cave people, but it's, like,
where are these cave people?
Yeah, talk to me about, where are they, mm-hmm. so I can put them on the podcast, but I'm, like, who was around during the dinosaurs? Yeah. Probably Bigfoot.
I would think so. Like, Bigfoot, a Yeti.
Definitely, like, a Yeti or three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least three. Continuing about fossils, how do we find fossils when they're buried under millions of years worth of rock? Well,
I don't know.
It's a combination of uplift, weathering, and erosion, plus luck. Earth's surface is broken into huge, irregular-shaped pieces, you know, the tectonic plates, those little ditties.
Mm-hmm.
And these plates drift around very slowly, driven from the heat within the Earth. In certain parts of the world, these plates will collide, you know, as we have seen many a time.
Sure.
This can force areas of rock together and push them upwards, and in the most dramatic instances, such uplift can form mountain ranges. This is why fossils of marine animals can be found on the top of Mount Everest.
Oh.
There's your marine animals.
There are my marine animals.
They're all in Everest.
Oh, okay.
Let's go.
I'll start my hike.
In places where there was one that were once covered by huge, heavy ice sheets that have now melted, rocks will also undergo uplift. Rocks can be pushed up slow by new igneous rocks forming underneath them. Uplift is only part of the story. Weathering and erosion from wind, rain, ice, heat, and rivers break rocks apart and wash fragments away. And so that kind of leads to the discovery of, you know, or like at least like finding... the rock that,
right?
Because I'll continue on this, I'll make more sense if I just continue on.
Yeah, I like understand. Yes,
Fossils are found almost exclusively in sedimentary rocks, rocks that form when sand, silt, mud, and organic material settle out of water or air and form layers that then are compacted into rock.
Sure.
So in looking for non-avian dinosaur fossils in particular, paleontologists look for outcrops of sedimentary rocks that formed during the Mesozoic era, which was the 251 to 65.6 million years ago, the geological time period when non-avian dinosaurs lived. Scientists typically search in regions with little vegetation, covering the surfaces of the ground so that any fossil fragments weathering out of the sedimentary rock layers can be more easily seen. These regions of barren ridges and ravines are often referred to as badlands. A bad land.
Bad land for terrible lizards.
Poor bad land, terrible lizards. I just want to know why we call them terrible lizards.
I don't know, but I love it.
It's such an attack.
I love it.
In order to find appropriate Mesozoic sedimentary rock layers, paleontologists often use geological maps, because they're smart like that, which show the kinds of rock layers of different geological ages that are exposed on Earth's surface in different regions. Once appropriate rock layers are found, the search for dinosaur fossils can begin, with hopeful of finding the kind of dinosaurs they're searching for. Mm-hmm. And other kinds of fossils are often serendipitously discovered during the search. So, You know, usually they find fossils around fossils.
Right.
Because, if it was enough to sink one dinosaur, it was enough to sink two.
Can you imagine if we just, somehow, lucked upon, I don't know, the fossil lottery?
Yeah.
You know? All of the fossils. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. The Pompeii of fossils. Yes. Just, an entire civilization of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So to find falafels. To find falafels, paleontologists conduct expeditions to regions around the world where fossils are likely to be found. To be successful, this fieldwork requires considerable funding and careful planning. Each trip is designed to try and find fossils that will shed new light on particular research questions. Often scientists choose destinations for their fieldwork in regions where fossils have already been found. But if not, geologic maps and satellite photos are used to identify areas where rocks of the right age and ancient environments are exposed on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And so to find fossils, paleontologists first carry out an operation called prospecting, good old prospector, which involves slowly hiking across ridges and through ravines while keeping one's eyes focused on the ground in hopes of finding fragments of fossils weathering out of the surface.
Oh.
They could have made it sound a little happier. Commonly, one covers 5 to 10 miles in a day while prospecting.
Wow.
Good for you. Pretty once a fossil fit, fragment queen. Is truly, think of my calves.
that's fitness.
Once a fossil fragment is found, wow, a lot of F's there. The collector brushes away, those little brushes that they use.
Oh, love a fossil brush.
let's get some, just for fun.
Just fun.
I don't have any. I'll use it on my dog. just go. They brush away all the loose dirt on the surface to see whether more of the specimen is buried in the ground. If so, quarrying is initiated to collect the fossil, using rock hammers, chisels, awls, other tools to remove the rock covering the bones and to see how much of the skeleton is present. As a fossil bone is exposed, special glue is applied to cracks and fractures to hold the fossil together. Mm. Next, a trench is dug around the fossil so that it essentially sits on a low pedestal, still encased in the surrounding rock or matrix. A covering of a damp toilet paper is placed over the fossilized bones before a layer of plaster bandages is wrapped around the matrix to create a hard cast, just like a doctor does on a broken bone. Once the cast hardens, excavating the fossil is completed by snapping the matrix from the underlying rock. And then the fossil in its cast is packed and shipped to a museum to be processed and
Oh my.
Do all the little
That's
things.
That's a lot.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But now, I want to talk about the top 10 dinosaur discoveries of 2020. Let's talk about a little, what we've discovered. Because, as I think both of us were kind of talking about, like, a lot of what, it's not, like, finding new species right now. It's, like, figuring out what the hell they were doing when they were alive.
Yeah. It's, like, what was the situation?
Like, what did you look like? What were you doing? Did you have feathers? Did you not have feathers?
Did you watch TV? Did you go to parties? What was your situation?
Were you more of a stay-in and, like, read a book? Or, like, were you going out to a kegger?
Did you watch Netflix? Or did you watch Hulu?
Mm. Big questions for dinosaurs.
Good.
So, this article is from December of last year, so it's quite recent, and talks about all the dinosaur discoveries of 2020, because we can even discover things about dinosaurs in a panoramic.
I was going to say, like, in the middle of a, but I can't think of a dinosaur name that starts with a P.
Pterodactyl.
I hate you.
Technically does. okay, so there's never been a better time to be a dinosaur fan. Every time's a good time to be a dinosaur fan.
Dinosaur fan.
Dino fans? Dino... I was trying to think of fun names for
dinos. Dino fans. Make a dino fans.
It's a... You are all now called dino fans. this podcast has nothing to do about dinosaurs, but you are now dino fans.
It's now dino fans.
Even in a year where fossil explorations have been curtailed because of the COVID, you know, COVID-19, yeah. That little ditty. Paleontologists have dug deep to describe dozens of new species and unlock new secrets about our favorite prehistoric creatures. The discoveries continue even now with the fluffy manned dinosaur Uberajara, named just last week in December of 2020.
I was like,
just last week, Nina. and as they anticipate what fossil record might reveal of 2021... here's a look back at the 10 dinosaur discoveries that surprised and enthralled dinosaur enthusiasts this year.
Cool.
Tiny fuzzball shows how dinosaurs started small. Me, a tiny fuzzball.
I just think of, like, you know, those, like, little, like, foam, like, grow a boyfriend things.
Yes.
Like, in water, but, like, dinosaurs.
Yes. Yes. Some of the key traits that allowed dinosaurs to be such an evolutionary success story, from fuzzy feathers to warm-running metabolisms, may have first evolved in their tiny ancestors. Last year, experts reported the discovery of a tiny reptile from the Triassic of Madagascar named Congoaphone, Congoaphone. while not a dinosaur itself, this animal was close to the ancestors of both dinosaurs and related flying reptiles called pterosaurs. This small insect-eating reptile likely moved nimbly to catch lunch and may have sported a coat of fuzz to help regulate its body temperature. This hints at some key dinosaur traits, such as warm-bloodedness and insulating body coverings, evolved early in their history and were elaborated upon as dinosaurs eventually diversified into all sorts of shapes and sizes.
Oh, my.
Like, fuzzy dinosaurs blows my mind. Because, like, I feel like we've always been presented as, you know, terrible lizards. But maybe they're terrible, like, otters, you know?
Oh, my God. A 59-foot terrible otter.
I want one. next we have... paleontologists have long suspected that the giant carnivore Spinosaurus spent much of its time around the water. Fossils reported in 2015 went a step further. Flat feet and dense bones indicated that the Spinosaurus spent a great deal of time in the water and is the first known semi-aquatic dinosaur. This year, the tail added another clue. The appendage found at the same quarry as the 2015 skeleton is long and deep. The tail is more like a paddle than what's seen on other carnivorous dinosaurs and would have been suited to swishy side-to-side motions that propelled the Spinosaurus through the water. The fact that the tail goes with the other fossils found at the site also confirms that they all go to one individual, underscoring the fact that the Spinosaurus has a strange body proportions unlike any other dinosaur yet discovered.
Weird.
It's like a platypus.
A little platypus.
But what if they're like just 59 like foot platypus?
All just like animals that we know, but just 59 feet tall.
Yeah, that might be it. Maybe we're just like over exaggerating. Like, you know, you never think about how much like a puppy looks like a T-Rex.
I'm just saying. Like a kangaroo, but 59 feet tall.
Yeah, that's like a brontosaurus or something. You extend a giraffe's neck far enough.
And it's a, what is it?
There's like the, it's like Titanosaurus or...
What's the one that what's his face is in Land Before Time? Ducky?
Bronchosaurus. Bronchosaurus?
Maybe that's it.
Bronchitis.
A bronchitis.
Sad news. Dinosaurs Aww. Suffered from cancer too. Dino cancer.
Not dino cancer.
Dinosaurs are often celebrated for being big, fierce, and tough. The truth, however, is that they suffered from many of the same injuries and diseases that humans do. A study published this year in The Lancet reported that on the first well-documented case of malignant bone cancer in a non-avian dinosaur, the animal, a horned dinosaur known to experts as a Centrosaurus, probably coped with declining health before its eventual death in the coastal flood that caught its herd off guard. That's the thing, is water really seems to get them. It's like whenever like water's into play.
I don't understand. Well, and that's like when I said earlier, like a lot of things that I had seen, like I didn't talk about it a lot, but a lot of things I had seen that were like, you know, it really could have been like floods that like took them the fuck out. And I'm like, you're telling me these big-ass dinosaurs can't, like, swim even a little bit?
But, like, and but that's my question is, like, how many, or, like, do we not know the number of dinosaurs, like, if it was an asteroid, let's say.
Yeah.
And they died on land, those bones would have all disintegrated. If there was no water around or no way for them to get, like, submerged in something.
Yeah.
We would have no clue about any of that. So, that's like, true. Are we only just seeing the dinosaurs that happen to, like, stumble upon a, like, steep river? Like,
yeah.
These are my questions.
That's true.
Dinosaurs weren't in decline when the asteroid hit. If dinosaurs ruled the Earth for millions of years, why were they hit so hard by the mass extinction of 66 million years ago?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Paleontologists have been puzzling over this question for decades, and some have suggested dinosaurs may have already been dying back by the time the asteroid struck. But an increasing amount of evidence contracts this view, including a study published this year in Royal Society Open Science. The researchers looked at different evolutionary trees for what dinosaurs were around during the end of the Cretaceous to track whether dinosaurs were dying out, thriving, or staying the same. After sifting through the data, paleontologists didn't find any signs that the dinosaurs were declining before the asteroid strike. In fact, dinosaurs seemed to be perfectly capable of evolving new species. If the asteroid had missed, the age of the dinosaurs would have continued for a very long time. Which is another interesting thing to think about.
That's a whole thing to think about.
Like, would humans have then evolved? Or would, like, we've been, would like, we, kept down in the caveman days because of dinosaurs?
Would I be a dinosaur?
Oh! Now that is a thought. I have no answers for them.
I'm just thinking now, like, wow, that, yeah, I don't know.
Would Kesha have been a dinosaur singing dinosaur?
Dinosaur. Interesting.
Very interesting. Taking a long swim. Some dinosaurs show up where we don't expect them. While paleontologists have found numerous fossils of duck-billed dinosaurs at spots around the world from North America to Antarctica, no one has ever found one in Africa. This changed in 2020. In a Cretaceous research study, paleontologists described a new species of hadrosaur found in Morocco named Anjanabi. The dinosaur lived at the end of the Cretaceous period during a time when Africa was separated from the other continents by deep water channels. Swimming would have been the only way for the dinosaur to reach prehistoric Africa from Europe or Asia, reinforcing the idea that exceptional events can help species move between distinct continents.
So you're telling... I have so many questions.
I just, like, don't understand how the world works sometimes. Like, I, like, read things like this and I'm like... But Africa wasn't attached to anything?
Like, I have
like,
so
I remember
many questions.
Pangea, and I remember learning about all that.
I get it. I understand it. But I don't.
It's gone from my brain.
Like, I don't.
Baby titans had tiny horns.
Baby titans.
Baby dinosaurs are exceptionally rare. We know far more about the adults of most species than how they started life. And when we do find those babies, they often hold surprises. An embryo of a long-necked dinosaur called a titanosaur, reported in Current Biology, drew attention this in 2020 for a strange rhino-like horn jutting from its face. No such structure has been found on an adult titanosaur, so it seems that the horn was kind of a temporary egg tooth that the dinosaur would use to crack out of its shell. Egg tooth!
That's so cute.
I want an egg tooth.
That's so cute.
That's really cute. I hadn't read the last one of these. I was like, yeah, this list looks great. I'll keep going through them. So now these are all surprises for me.
Just like a little baby freaking dinosaur. Ugh. Ugh. How freaking cute.
The first unicorn was a dinosaur. This is science.
We are literally discovering science.
Someone call
on this podcast
NASA, the Natural History Museum, the Smithsonian,
somebody,
the
someone.
Shield Museum. I don't
anyone
know. Call them.
Call someone.
Were dinosaur eggs soft?
Like
a gummy egg.
Like yeah, I was like a gummy, like a jelly bean, but a dinosaur egg. Oh.
I'm so unhappy with that thought. Think of a dinosaur egg and you'll likely envision something out of Jurassic Park. A hard-shelled capsule the baby dinosaur has to kick or punch its way out of.
Yeah, he had a freaking egg horn, so.
Bam. But research published this year in Nature proposes that many dinosaurs laid soft-shell eggs.
Like a hard-boiled egg? They just laid hard-boiled eggs? I hate that.
Under close examination, the eggs of the dinosaurs Protoceratops and Musarus, turned out to be more like the leathery eggs of turtles. Mm. Okay,
okay,
that makes more sense.
Okay.
That gives me a present-day description. Mm. Than the thick, hard-shelled eggs known from other dinosaurs. This may indicate that dinosaur eggs started off soft and only later evolved to be hard-shelled in some groups. The findings may often indicate why eggs had been so hard to find for many dinosaur species, as softer eggs would decay more readily than hard-shell ones.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm talking about tacos. Do you want hard-shelled or soft-shelled eggs?
Freaking, I just like can't stop thinking of like a like 59-foot hard-boiled egg.
I'm thinking of like a water balloon that's kind of like tumbling on the ground.
Yeah,
like that's the imagery
that's
in my head
what I'm getting.
Okay, I have three more. Enter the Wonder Chicken. Exactly. Not all of 2020's big dinosaur discoveries had to do with the non-avian dinosaurs. A fossil dubbed the Wonder Chicken in Nature, which is a publication, has helped paleontologists understand how modern birds took off during the age of the dinosaurs. Mm. While birds go back to about 150 million years ago, the Wonder Chicken, or Asterionis, lived... Yep, that was correct. I don't know what to tell you. Lived about 67 million years ago and is the oldest known representative of what biologists. I just want to add extra syllables into everything. What biologists think of as modern birds. The fossil, which includes a skull, has some anatomically similarities to chickens and ducks. These findings indicate that modern birds started to evolve and proliferate prior to the mass extinction that wiped out non-avian dinosaurs. Which, again, is suspicious. How did these birds do this?
Yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of questions for birds.
Did something happen, like, surface level and they just kind of all, like, flew up? But, like, then how are chickens here, you know?
Yeah, because, like, chickens don't fly.
No.
And, like, what other birds don't fly?
Mm, the dodo birds, but they're extinct.
Ostriches.
You're an ostrich.
What else? Yeah, yeah.
There's others. I can't
freaking penguins.
Flamingos fly, right? Anywho, if such beaked seed-eating birds had not evolved, dinosaurs might have been entirely wiped out instead of leaving birds behind.
Hmm.
So something the birds did was right, and I want to talk to them about it.
Yeah. So I bring us questions. A bird, but not, like, too close.
No. Like,
they scare me.
6 feet.
Definitely.
The hunt for dino DNA. Jurassic Park is upon us.
Yeah.
Will DNA from the likes of a Tyrannosaurus ever be found? The consensus has been no, as DNA decays too fast after death to survive millions and millions of years. Mm-hmm. But in a study published in the National Science Review in 2020, researchers have proposed that they've found chemical signatures consistent with DNA in bones of a 70-million-year-old hadrosaur called Hippocrosaurus. The results have been... Is it close to hypocrite because it's hypocritical for us to do this knowing what Jurassic Park did?
Literally knowing what happened.
The results have yet to be expanded upon or verified, but the idea that degraded DNA from non-avian dinosaurs might survive is tantalizing for all such discovery that might teach us about prehistoric life. Mm. Just don't repeat Jurassic Park.
I have a video somewhere of me, because when I was in Hawaii, did a helicopter ride over, you know, where Jurassic Park was filmed, and I have a video of us, like, playing the Jurassic Park music, like, while, like, helicoptering over, like, the real-life Jurassic World.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. There was, I just remember the, back in the good old day of Vines, and also the what are those phase, was there was, like, the what are those?
Yes.
And it was, like, the dinosaurs wearing them.
Literally iconic.
I miss Vine with every day of my life. I mean, TikTok is really filling the void these days, but, like, I miss Vine.
But, like, boy, did Vine do something for me.
Vine was, I mean, like, TikTok has a lot of other ulterior motives.
Alternatives? Ulterior.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No.
Like, I mean, like, TikTok, like, we've now discovered, like, how to, like, brand on so... TikTok, or Vine was just so pure of just people trying to make fucking comedy.
Just, like, comedic and chaos.
But, like, you know, like, TikTok, now we've, like, learned how to, like, market and, like, you know, like, yeah, have brand deals and stuff like that. That's which true. Is, like, fine and, like, good, you know.
Yeah, but people Vine are getting was paid just, money. Like, Vine was just pure chaos.
It was just, like, people being like, fuck it, here's me. Hanging out the window like Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, my last one, and then we can wrap this up. So polar dinosaurs remained year-round. Ever since paleontologists have discovered dinosaur bones within the ancient Arctic Circle, experts have debated whether the polar dinosaurs stayed in their cool habitats year-round or migrated with the seasons.
Oh my god,
cold tiny dinosaurs. Jaw. I didn't think about cold dinosaurs.
I didn't think about Antarctica dinosaurs, like, at all.
Was there a 59-foot polar bear?
Oh my god, I didn't think about those.
59-foot penguin.
Yeah, that's that what I'm thinking. Scary. That's what I'm thinking right now.
A tiny jaw from a young dinosaur now answers that question. Described in PLOS-1, another publication, the fossil belonged to a young raptor-like dinosaur that lived in the ancient Alaskan habitat, marked by harsh seasonal shifts and long, dark winters. That dinosaurs were nesting and hatching babies in these habitats indicates that they were capable of surviving harsh winters, even when it snowed. So there were snow dinosaurs.
Like a true... Oh my god.
That's something I've never thought about.
That's something I've really never thought about.
Like, there's tropical dinosaurs, but there's also... Winter dinosaurs.
Well, like, a tropical dinosaur, I'm like, yeah, like, that makes, you know, sense. Hanging out in the jungle. But
I just felt like the whole earth was tropical at that point.
Yeah, like, you're telling me there were dinosaurs with, like, little hats and, like, scarves on?
But, like, because then that, like, first of all, second of all, that just kind of, like, ruins my thought that, like, the cold of the Ice Age was the one that killed off the dinosaurs, you know?
Yeah, because some of them would have to live.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, if we went with that theory... Something, like, they could have been the last dinosaurs, and, like, something else could have killed them.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Because, like, there were, I don't know.
Because to me, like, I was always just picturing them all in one climate, but were, like, some experiencing the seasons, and, like, others
Because that's the thing, is, like, yeah, I definitely didn't consider, like, anything other than just, like, dry land,
warm,
some jungles, you know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I feel confused now.
Yeah.
That's what I got on dinosaurs. Those were my fun facts.
Cool. I love that. That was, yeah, there's a lot to just ponder.
And, like, they're just going to keep making, it's like the ocean. They're just going to keep making so many different discoveries because, like, Jesus Christ, it was a whole planet's worth of species that no longer exist besides these, like, rocks we find in the ground. That Satan put there.
Thank you, Satan.
Thanks, Satan, for the dinosaurs.
For the dinosaurs. Oh, well, the more dinosaurs.
It was so funny. I read that and I went, that checks out.
Literally. Literally. The more dinosaurs we find, the more dinosaur silly bands we'll have.
Yes. So. The more dino nugget shapes will exist.
Oh my god, dino nuggets. Ugh. Now, listen, if I was going to ever go back to eating meat, it wouldn't be a steak. It would be a dino nugget.
God, I love a dino nugget.
We used to have the dino nuggets, but we used to also have the naked nuggets in shapes of dino nuggets.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Loved those. Mm-hmm. Loved that. Mm. Cool, guys.
Yeah.
Let's start our own dig team. Find some fucking dinosaurs.
If you want to be a part of a dig team, call 555.
Dinosaur. Dot.
Dig.
Yep.
It's a whole new kind of website.
We're on a whole new situation here.
That's how you find the dig sites. Just a dot dig to anything.
It's just,
Alaska dot dig. Brazil dot dig. And you'll find digs in Brazil.
Oh my god. Okay. Iconic.
Pure lies. Remember earlier you said we'd be speaking facts.
there were no facts.
No.
Cool. Well, that's that with the dinosaurs, guys. It's time to move on to our favorite section of the evening. Mm-hmm. Artist of the week.
Woo!
Should I sing and then remember that you sing second this time?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's try that one.
Let me look in
really
my brain.
Really feel it. Find it. Find your inner peace.
Let me just talk to myself. Got it. Here we go. Artist of the week.
Artist of the week.
Iconic. I remembered.
Yes. That was probably our best one in a while.
Good work, guys. So this week's artist of the week is at Two Piece Things. So this shop is ran by Marissa, and Marissa makes handmade jewelry. She has all types of cool earrings in her shop that are like dangles and studs and like all other things. But my favorite are these like beautiful floral, like body and face silhouette earrings. And then also these super cool crystal rings that like have just, I think are like more recent. So you can go to the Instagram and see some of the creations, or you can click on the link in the bio, to see the shop. She also donates a portion of all the purchases to a different cause each month, which is super, super cool. This month it is We Are Ultraviolet, which is a feminist movement mobilized to fight sexism and expand the rights of all women and non-binary people, which is super amazing. She tags like whichever cause that she's supporting that month in the bio of the like shop's Instagram, so you'll always be able to tell. But yeah, super, super cool, super, super like fun jewelry. So go support and follow. The Instagram again is at Two Piece Things.
Fun fact, we used to act together.
Did you?
Yeah. Marissa's a Michigander.
Good work, Marissa.
Yeah, she's great.
Love that.
Hashtag proud of you.
Yeah. I love your earrings. So, that's it. That's it, guys. So you know the situation. Wear a mask.
Please. Black Lives Matter.
Save the planet.
Please.
So we don't have another dinosaur situation.
Oh my god, the second extinction coming soon, baby. and free Britney.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to our last episode, go listen.
Yeah. And it was a fun one, and we have to free her. So
free her every damn day.
All right, that's it.
We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.